This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasuri. It's our health and living segment today, and we have for his monthly show Dr. John Ben Loy, our US licensed marriage and family therapist. Welcome to the show, Dr. John Ben. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Very well, but not very happy news that we received. At about 1:20 p.m. today, Sarawak Chief Minister Tan Sri Dato' Adnan Satim passed away. He was 72. It's funny, 27th of January, he would have turned 73.
Wow.
And he led the Barisan Nasional to victory, actually, during the last Sarawak elections.
Okay.
So a man who, you know, I was speaking to a Sarawakian herself, and she was saying that they were already concerned about him because his health wasn't good even before he took over as chief minister. And they were always concerned that his health would get to him. And, you know, but a very interesting man. He was very popular amongst the Sarawakian people.
Okay.
And the topic for today, of course, is family dynamics and family gatherings, very not aligned with this tragic news. But
not exactly misaligned either, because, you know, tragic events like this also happen on holidays. So
absolutely. And we're heading towards the Chinese New Year. We've always wondered how families cope with celebrations and the death of a family member. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So life goes on, right? Whether, you know, holidays come or not. And we have to deal with that. It's just that when the holidays come, we think we're supposed to do things a certain way. And then when we're not aware of it, or when we don't talk about it, or we don't have a way to deal with it, it becomes awkward. So a lot of it is about managing and how to kind of do your best, I guess, as a group and as individually, and as individuals, to be able to make the best out of celebrations.
Before we come on to the family level, I mean, just a very prominent person like a chief minister passing away, how will the people of Sarawak, I mean, how does his passing affect the people at large when it comes to a big celebration like Chinese New Year? I mean, Chinese New Year is big all over the world, really.
Yes.
But as a community, how do people cope with that?
Yeah.
And we watched the death of how the people of Thailand took to
the death of their king. I was actually there.
Okay.
And a lot of what usually happens in Thailand were closed. And, you know, people were asked, foreigners were asked to be respectful. And even I wore a little black piece of cloth to denote respect for the passing away of the king. So I think these are things that the Sarawak state could communicate, you know, to the people as to how they would mourn the passing away of their leader.
Is it something that should come from the state itself, or do people just take it on their own, Dr. John Ben? I know it's a very subjective question, but people of Thailand felt very, very, they were, you know, their king was everything. I mean, he was their king for years on end. And Adnan Satim also, the people of Sarawak, had a lot of respect for him. He was a very progressive kind of a leader. And I can imagine that the people of Sarawak would feel very much the same way.
Yeah.
But should it come from the people itself, or from the state?
Well, I'm thinking of, when it comes from the state, it doesn't necessarily have to be policy. It doesn't have to be law. You know, it could be a recommendation that we want to respect. You know, these are certain things that you can do to respect the passing away of the leader. So then at least it's clear to the people what you can do, as opposed to become very loud, you know, lots of fireworks, that sort of thing, which kind of contrasts with the mood of the month, say.
And we know how Chinese New Year is celebrated. I mean, it is loud.
That's right.
Crackers and fireworks and all
that,
you know, in a huge way, actually.
Yeah. People might want to minimize that, you know, tone it down a bit.
What did you, how did you feel when you were in Thailand, part of this, you know, mourning process? What did you take away from that experience?
Yeah, it was interesting. There was definitely, you could feel, well, I was only in Phuket, but you could feel that people were quieter than usual. And, you know, when you talk to people, some people were visibly sad. And that was what was really interesting to me, And when I talked to them and asked them how they felt, you know, everybody said good things about that king. And there was, you could say, even a mood of, although there was a mood of sadness, there was also a mood of pride, some kind of a quiet celebration that they had a good king, right? And a lot of the stories of how he would just, you know, show up in places that nobody recognized him and start talking to the common people, you know, understanding what the common people wanted and things like that. I learned about the king, new things, you know, from the Thais. And I, you know, I left with a great deal of respect for that man.
Yep. I mean, but you were on holiday, weren't
you? Yes. Well, I was on work holiday.
Okay. But, you know, you're not Thai.
No.
And you don't share that same sense of nationalism or feeling towards the king.
Yes.
So for those people holidaying in Sarawak, for an example, mm-hmm. I mean, how did you react to this? So did you, I mean, you're on holiday, you've paid for this.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to be having a really good time, but the mood is
different. That's right. And I think this is very much aligned with the idea of, you know, going on celebrations with family, especially when things are not well. You know, people have all kinds of illnesses, you know, that strike them. You know, a week before Chinese New Year, some person finds that they have cancer. Then what do you do, right? So I think respect comes in. Respect of those who want to celebrate and respect of those who are mourning. You know, and to be able to do that, if a nation can do that, if a state can do that, if a family can do that, we have, you know, it's good. It's good that we learn to do that.
Okay. When let's bring it down to a family level. When you lose a family patriarch, for an example,
yes,
in the year before Chinese New Year, and normally there is a mourning period of a year, I think, or a mark of respect for a year in terms of celebrations. I think that goes across many races in this country. How do you then celebrate? What are some of the typical reactions or mood that will arise when the family gets together? Family will inevitably still get together.
Yes.
How do you manage that?
I have been through some, yeah. And what I've noticed is the mood is a little bit muted. So it's not quite so gregarious. Sometimes people are still wearing their mourning clothes. MOURING, mourning clothes.
Mm-hmm.
But also there is a sense that, you know, this is a part of life. These things happen and we're going through mourning together. The togetherness in itself is a kind of a celebration, you know, not the celebration with the fireworks, but it's a kind of a recognition of going through a togetherness experience that could be said that there is sadness, but there's also some love, maybe a recognition of love, togetherness, and it's a positive side to go with the negative. It's a yin and a yang.
Yeah.
It really exists together.
And when you get together, you sit mourning clothes and all of that. Children, for an example, they're having a good time.
Yes.
They rarely relate to what's really going on emotionally in the family. Do you let them celebrate? I mean, they're children after all.
So, for instance, the kids, they cannot hold the seriousness or the sadness the way an adult could hold it, you know, but doesn't mean that they're not affected by it. They are. But children need to run. They need to play. Perhaps give them, you know, little fireworks as opposed to the big ones, you know, the little ones that you can throw on the ground.
Sparklers.
Little sparklers, you know, and understand that children need to be children. Right. If you sort of make them go through a really dark, heavy experience that they themselves cannot handle, it's just biologically not right, you know, to take them through that. And understanding that, but you can teach them respect. You can teach them to walk more slowly, speak a bit more quietly, understand if you see someone looking sad or down, that they're feeling sad. Children know what feelings are. My little daughter was learning feelings and how to articulate them at age 2. So you can teach them.
To be aware.
To be aware and also to respond in a child-appropriate way.
Okay. How do you survive the first holiday without a loved one?
Yeah, that's a very, very hard one for a lot of people, especially if that holiday is typically spent with that loved one. Mm-hmm. And it's a very special time. First of all, I want to say that, respect your own desire not to celebrate it. It's okay. It's okay to let one, annual event go, right? Now, of course, if you completely cut it off and you're grieving in some maladaptive way, you want to deal with it, but, one, it's okay, right? And understand what that's about, communicate it clearly with others. So allow yourself to do that, to bypass one holiday. And then the other thing is to know that sadness is part of life. It really is. And it doesn't have to be antithetical to celebration. You can be sad and celebrate at the same time. You want to hear a story?
Yes.
My own story.
Always.
Yeah. So my father passed away in 97, in November 25th. And my cousin came back. My cousin was about my age, was coming back to Malaysia to get married. And he was studying overseas or working overseas at the time. So it had only been about 2 weeks since my father had died, and I was sort of in a shock. And he asked, can I sing? Well, first of all, I felt a little bit insulted that he would even ask. But then as I thought about it, I thought, yeah, I will sing for your wedding. And this is how I made sense of it. The reason I was mourning the loss of my father was because I loved him. And the reason I would sing for my cousin is because I love him. He's a very close cousin of mine. And so the motivation to do both, the motivation to be able to mourn the loss and to celebrate his wedding, is really out of love. And so it actually was congruent to how I felt about it. So I did it. And I didn't think that I was disrespecting my father's passing in that way, because it is out of the same love. I know it's unusual. It's just a John Benn thing. But that's how I reconciled it, and it made a lot of sense to me.
I've completely forgotten that you actually sing.
Ah, there
Very
you go.
Very well. Who was it? I remember you were part of the choir. That
Andrea Bocelli.
Absolutely. Yes. I love the man. Yes. I'm just so envious that you got to be with him.
Yes, but he never saw me, though.
That doesn't matter. You shared the stage.
That was a joke.
No.
Yes, he didn't see me.
That's all right.
Okay, we won't joke about it.
No, but okay. As I said, you shared the same stage.
You did.
You did. And you can actually go around and tell people that you shared the same stage. So we have Dr. John Benn Loy, U.S. licensed marriage and family therapist. We are discussing family dynamics and family gatherings. Of course, we started off talking about the loss of a loved one. Tan Sri Adnan Satim, the Chief Minister of Sarawak, has just passed on this afternoon. And we're going to, come back and maybe look at other ways in which we can cope with family gatherings. Chinese New Year is just around the corner. If you have a question for us, send it through. You can give us a call. The number is 03-77-109-000. You can tweet BFM Radio or text 016-201-9000. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasuthi. It's our Health and Living segment, and Dr. John Benn Loy, U.S. licensed marriage and family therapist, in the studio with us. We're discussing family dynamics and family gatherings. Just to move along from, the holiday season and family gatherings, Dr. John Benn, how important are these gatherings for the health of a family? And we have very families now who seem to be going off and doing their own things. So getting together, getting everybody together,
yes,
doesn't seem to be a priority. But how important is it for the health of a family?
It's natural to begin with for families to come together. The family is our first community. That's how we grow up. So in terms of its importance, and this is my opinion here, not necessarily any research done on this that I know of, it depends on the size, I think. I think the importance lies in the people that I care about, that I can see them.
Let's talk about you. We always talk about you, and I always use you as an example, right?
Yes, I am your guinea pig. Do with me what you like.
And I am your therapist. I always have been, so talk to me.
Thank you, Meera.
You come from almost what I call a dynasty. You have siblings and all of that. How does your family keep it all together?
Well, to begin with, we all live together.
I know, and that's a big step, actually.
Yes.
Getting everybody to live in the same area. area.
Yes, but we don't see each other very often.
And I think that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. You respect each other's space. Mm-hmm. You need that space, isn't it? But during a family gathering, how do you make sure that everybody attends?
WhatsApp. WhatsApp. For everything, that's WhatsApp.
So there's a family WhatsApp.
Yes,
group.
That's right.
And is Chinese New Year prioritized?
Chinese New Year is very important for us. Christmas is also an important one. But the most important one is the family gathering, that is the holiday.
So over and above Chinese New Year and Christmas, there's a family.
It's different. The family holiday has a lot more thought put into it because it requires a lot more coordination. This is where we actually do family level work, where we learn about how to be family.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's right.
That almost sounds like an away day. Team building?
Well, it's work for me, usually.
Of course.
But if you want to keep these generations together, you really do want to learn how to do that.
How many generations are you talking about?
Four.
Is it a challenge for you?
One, two, three. Oh, no. Sorry.
You're on the fifth already.
Did I just give away a secret? Three.
Oh. Oops, the fourth is arriving.
Three generations.
Okay, three generations.
Yes.
But it's a very different generation, the younger ones today. Mm-hmm. How do you get them on board to be a part of this?
Yeah, a lot of education, a lot of conversation. From very young, they're exposed to family-level meetings. So we have these regularly spread out throughout the year, including Christmas, including Chinese New Year. We even have typical things that we do. You know, now it's sort of become a new tradition that all the women dress up in Cheong Sams, you know, and all the kids line up one by one to receive the red packet. And that's sort of a tradition that my younger sister put together. And so it's been done now, I would guess, probably more than 10 years.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's not necessarily something that has, you know, so new traditions are being formed. And it's good. It's good. You know, children expect it growing up and it becomes normal for them.
How different was Chinese New Year when your father was around?
When my father was around, it was a lot more involving other people. So, you know, there's a big, you know, business conglomerate. And so there were always guests. It was always some company event. So, now it's very much family. So that's the biggest difference.
Why do you think that changed?
I think, you know, when you grew up with so much public attention and the family and the business life is sort of overlapped so much, you get to a point whereby you think, I just want the family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we want our privacy. So we're getting that now, and it's good.
And that's probably a decision your generation made.
Yes.
Because of your exposure to all the corporate events.
Yeah, and my mother is quite a private person too, except now I'm revealing all of her secrets. So, sorry, Mom. I have my father's genes, you see.
I always knew you were the black sheep.
Bah, yes.
And I'm sure you have high stress situations.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the reasons for that?
Well, not just for my family. I mean, in general speaking, it's unresolved issues are always, you know, one of those things. Or you are entering into a lifestyle or a divorce or some kind of configuration in your own life that, you know, others may not look favorably towards. You might be afraid that they might judge you, for instance. Yeah, these are typically the types of issues that families face when they get together as a family.
And it's a change in routine during holiday season.
Well, depending if you, let's say, go home, mm-hmm. you know, to Kuching or something like that, you know, and you haven't been home to all your 13 siblings,
yeah.
you know, in 15 years, that's going to require some adjustments, definitely.
What sort of adjustments?
Yeah. Well, to begin with, you're maybe even staying back home. I don't know if there are, you know, memories that you'd rather not recall,
mm-hmm.
you know, growing up there. Or maybe it's good stuff. If it's good, it's always good. But it's just that when it's difficult, then it's challenging. My advice is, I have had people that I've worked with who have struggled And so, yes, oftentimes, you know, when there's a holiday and I see them after the holiday, we do spend some time talking about that experience of being back in the family and how difficult things have been in that and how do you manage that transition, etc. But without actually working on it yourself, then you just kind of want to show up and then go away. You might want to schedule in a lot of activities for yourself, plan that out in advance, communicate that, so that you can manage or limit how much time you spend with who.
Sometimes we're our own limitation. How do you address that?
Yeah. To begin with, I always like to stress that it's important that we accept ourselves. And I don't mean mollycoddle ourselves till we're spoiling ourselves. You know, there is a room, there's room for correction and discipline. But generally speaking, if we're good to ourselves and we find that well-being towards ourselves, then we will probably be, it'll be easier for us to be also good to others.
But what do you mean by being good to ourselves?
So for instance, you know, if I don't want to, if my spouse passed away and I don't want to celebrate Christmas this year or something like that, then that's fine. I'm not going to do that. If I didn't want to go to Chinese New Year because my spouse died, celebration back to Ipoh or something like that, I will tell everyone and I'm going to be good to me because that's what I need. I want to spend it with my two kids and we're going to just be alone for this Chinese New Year, mm-hmm. right? That's my choice. That's what I'm going to do. Please respect that. So I'm being good to myself. But the next year when things are better and my family has understood, they accept, they send good wishes, you know, I'll come back with a different attitude and maybe quite happy.
So give them the space, is what you're saying.
Definitely, I think for Asians, we do have a tendency to step into other people's personal boundaries, boundaries of privacy, you know, boy, you know, are you married yet? That's typical, right? So, Mira, when are you going to become a grandma, you know?
But then again, isn't it in China where they actually rent out partners to take them home for the holiday season just so they don't get harassed?
So you can see what the culture can do to authenticity in an individual. I would never do that. Not rent one out. I might find one.
I'm just using the wrong word. I mean, yeah. Rent is such a horrible word, really. But you yes. know what I mean.
Yes.
But it's
all,
happening.
All for face. So I have to ask the question, is it really good for you as an individual in the long run to have to, you know, what's the phrase in English? Put up appearances? Is mm-hmm. that is there a phrase? Yeah. So they had it in the English-speaking societies too, you know, that you have to show a certain face. I have a whole other idea for what a society should look like.
What is that?
Yeah. Liking me, loving us. You know.
What does that mean?
That I can really be me and really be us at the same time.
That's difficult.
It's very difficult, but why not try?
Okay. How do I start?
Okay. First of all, I have to ask myself, you know, do I feel like I really want to be with you? And when I'm with you, do I feel like there is a natural self-expression that is allowed in my relationship with you? If there is, that's great. If there isn't, is that something that I want to allow for you, our relationship, to change me, to improve me? Sometimes, yes. You know, I know that you're different, but it's good for me. So I'll retain that relationship. Or if it, you know, comes to the point whereby our relationship is really toxic for my self-being, that is healthy, that's not dysfunctional, you know, for who I am.
For your self-expression.
Yeah, for my self-expression. I have to say, well, you know, I'm going to limit that or end it completely. I have a choice. And one of the things when I first started my PhD and I found it a little bit odd was one of the things they kept talking about when I first started was family diversity. And I didn't quite understand it at first. And then they started talking about one of the thing questions we're dealing with in family social science is the definition of family. Well, of course, now I understand it. But what is a family? You know, is your pet a family? Is your helper a family? Is that cousin twice removed who is extremely close to you a family? Mm-hmm. Maybe to you, but not to the rest of your siblings.
Yep.
How does that configuration work? Or is your best friend your family? So family is fluid, right? It's not just biological. There are adopted children. There are fictive kin. So who we want to be with, my imagination is that we can choose. We can choose to design the family that we want. Not in a way that, again, spoils us, you know, leaves us in inside our little cocoon of comfort zone. But we can choose to be and to be with healthy people that will help us to be more healthy. That's my vision of society.
Your vision?
Yes.
Do you think it's achievable?
I'm going to try. I'm going to try to influence as many as I can.
It's human nature. You're up against human nature.
I believe in evolution.
No.
That's right, Mira.
See, I always knew you were the black sheep.
I know I'm on the cusp of the next change. I'm not going to give up trying. Not so easily.
Good for you. You know, sometimes you just wonder, why is it everyone just can't get along?
Because I need a job. Sorry. That was a joke, if you haven't been exposed to me. No, I think people...
And an open invitation.
That's right.
For a plug.
That's right. No.
That was my fault.
Yeah. I think people can't get along because change is difficult. And when we encounter challenge and change and difference, you know, it's hard. It's hard to flex.
Okay. We will come back and have this discussion. We're discussing family dynamics and family gatherings. He's getting a bit too passionate about this topic. I'm going to just, you know, let him calm down a little and then we'll come back and pick it up.
Change the world, Mira. Let's change the world.
Stop now. We'll come back and continue this discussion on family dynamics and family gatherings. Our phone lines are open. Don't you have a question? I mean, Chinese New Year is coming up around the corner. Give us a call if you have a question on how to, you know, get along, how to work on, you know, differences.
Yes.
What happens if somebody doesn't want to reconcile? How do you manage that?
That's right.
We'll come back and have that discussion up next. If you have a question, give us a call. The number is 03-77-109-1000. You can tweet BFM Radio or text 016-201-9000. Good afternoon and welcome. I'm Mira Sivasothi. It's The Bigger Picture and it's our Health and Living segment. Dr. John Benloy in the studio with me. We're discussing family dynamics and family gatherings. We kicked off the show with the passing of Tan Sri Adnan Satim, the Chief Minister of Sarawak. He passed on about 1:20 p.m. this afternoon. We sort of discussed, you know, how with Chinese New Year around the corner, how the people of Sarawak could, sort of celebrate his life, but at the same time mourn his loss as a result. And also, you know, on a more family dynamics perspective, how do you cope with the loss of a family member during the festive season? So we have CI on the line. CI, you have a question? Hi, are you there? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, would you like to share your thoughts with us?
Hi. This is Claire. Hi, Dr. John Ben.
Hi, Claire.
I promised to call.
You made her call, Dr. John Ben. Why am I not surprised?
She posted up on Facebook that she was going to listen in, so I told her to call.
Okay, go ahead, Claire.
Okay, so, John Ben. So what happened was, during Chinese New Year, we had a fallout with some family members over political differences. And what has happened is it has caused some of us to ban each other, block each other on Facebook.
Oh.
Now, the problem is we are meeting again this Chinese New Year.
Mm.
So the question is, how do we break the ice?
Yeah.
Okay. What?
Yeah.
You have a question, Claire? Thank you very much, Claire.
Sorry.
Thank you. You have another question?
No, that's it.
Okay. Thank you very much. We'll address that on air. Bye-bye.
Yeah. I feel like I was in a cavern for a second, transported to another dimension.
Sorry about that.
It's okay. So I would say break the ice before you have to meet. You know, start so that the meeting is, you know, gathering really shouldn't be the place to have disruptive, awkward conversations. So as much as possible, use the intention of goodwill to be able to come together and have a celebration that is at the very least cordial, right? That will hopefully result in factoring some positivity that can then lead to more positivity in relationship.
But don't you think social media has made things more complicated? I mean, this blocking on Facebook, can upset a lot of people.
It's made things more obvious and faster, but it's still human nature.
Really?
Yes. Okay. I think it's just...
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a faster thing, so we'll have to keep up, so we're stressed. So in that sense, maybe it is a good thing to turn it off sometimes.
Okay. Yeah. And it is true. I mean, there is more and more studies coming out to say that people who spend a lot of time on Facebook are likely to be depressed, actually.
Mm-hmm. I'm spending more and more time on Facebook.
That says a lot about you. I've always wondered. Okay. There's another question here. I cringe at the thought of attending family gatherings since we have been married for 5 years, but we don't have any kids, and it's all anyone ever asks about. Can you recommend a good way of handling this question without being rude?
Yeah.
Thank you for that question.
Yes, good question. First of all, I will address the last, three words, without being rude. You cannot control how someone else is going to perceive you. So with your intentions of clarity of what your boundaries are, some people might find that rude, too forward. Well, I'd like to say, the liking me, loving us thing, how much can you put up with that, right? If it's too much, then you'll just have to say, I'm sorry, but this is my truth. This is what I need, right? Please stop asking when we're going to have children. That's it. Make it very clear. Write it out. I know, I'm looking at Mira and your eyes are getting wider.
I mean, you make it sound so simple. It isn't. So what's stopping people from...
It is so simple.
Yeah, but what is stopping people from...
Fear.
Fear of what?
Fear of repercussions, fear of people, judgments, judging you. We need to change the world, Mira. I'm serious.
I know, we do.
We do.
In small baby steps.
Yeah. So clarity of communication, that's key. If they don't like it, let's do another show on that. How do you deal with that?
Yep.
Yeah. And you can pick your own family. And I don't mean that in a harmful way. I mean that when the others refuse to acknowledge you and respect your autonomy, your needs, maybe it's time to find someone that you can belong with in a healthy way.
Mm-hmm. As you said, who is family is really fluid.
Yes.
To whom you want.
Yes, like my turtles.
See, it just keeps coming across. first Facebook, and then, now turtles. The turtles. Exactly.
Yeah, all four of them.
Is that all?
One of them I adopted from my nephew, so it's very complex.
Okay. They live for ages.
Yes, they will live beyond me, I'm sure.
Do they communicate with you?
They do.
Ah,
yeah,
okay.
Especially when they're hungry.
All right. Technology can be... a problem when it comes to family gatherings. Now, everybody's on their phone. Can you resist tech distractions? Do you face the same thing with your family gatherings?
Yeah, I mean, that's such, okay, fine. I'll put up my hand and admit that I do the same thing. Mm-hmm. No, when things are awkward, people pick up their phones, right? That's the easiest way to overcome that awkward silence or not really know how to say things. And then, we'll take photos of food and put them up, etc.
And make it look like a very happy and warm family gathering.
That's right. Well, at least, you remember it that way on Facebook, right? Even though it may have been a very quiet and boring thing.
When it appears on your memory a year later, you're like, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
We had a really good time.
That's right. It actually makes for a whole new reality. So actually, yeah, maybe Facebook does create a new way of being.
It's an illusion.
Yes. So I do advise people, not to let the phone be the excuse for having conversations with people in gatherings. And if you do need to pick up your phone, tell people what you're doing. Hey, I'm going to check Facebook, or hey, I'm texting someone because I'm expecting a call, or hey, I'm just looking up what we're talking about now. Make it very include them in what you're doing.
I find taking a Wi-Fi very much an icebreaker.
I did that just before we started.
I know you did, but it's just the two of us.
Oh.
I'm talking about a family gathering,
yes,
Dr. John Med.
It is a good...
We can do it easily.
Yes.
But it's an icebreaker.
Yes.
Yeah, in a family gathering. Hannah on the line. Hi, Hannah. You have a question.
Yeah, hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, quick one. Chinese New Year is coming.
Mm-hmm.
My I think that's my voice.
No, go ahead. Can you turn off your radio, please?
Turn off my radio.
Yes, please.
Yeah. So the thing is, my mother's youngest brother has always been playing favorism between me and my sister, the two nieces.
Okay.
So things got really bad, and now Chinese New Year coming along, and my mother is terribly upset. But what can I do if my uncle play favorism between the two nieces, right? So what am I supposed to do for Chinese New Year?
Okay. So you're one of the nieces.
I and my sister, two of us, we're a small family.
Can I ask what decade you're in? Are you in your 20s, 30s?
No, I mean above the 30s.
Okay, you're in your 30s, okay.
So, because my father passed away last year, so a lot of things came up.
Uh-huh.
So I just said that, no, I have accepted the fact that my uncle, which is my mother's younger brother, have always favored my elder sister more than me.
Mm.
But it's just that after being penned up for so many years, I didn't argue, but I just said that, you know, through WhatsApp message to my sister, I say, you know, I've accepted this since young, but now, you know, Chinese New Year is coming, so now I'm not in speaking terms with my uncle. Then my mother said that I'm not being respectful, you see?
Mm. Right.
It's not that I don't want to be it's not that I don't want to be respectful, but, I mean, you get what I mean.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thanks very much, Hannah. We'll address
thank
that question.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
If you have a question, give us a call. The number is 0377-109-1000. You can send us a WhatsApp message on 0162019000. Go ahead, Dr. John.
Okay. So what I'm hearing in this case is she's decided not to talk to her uncle because of the favoritism that the uncle has shown to her elder sister. And then the mom is not happy with that because the mother considers it to be rude.
Mm-hmm. Well, disrespectful. I think that word is key in our society.
Yes.
Respect.
That's
right. And the word disrespect is used very loosely.
Yes.
To
yes.
our advantage.
So what I would do to begin with, if I could work with this family, is to bring all four of them together. That's how I would start,
mm-hmm.
right? What is this favoritism about to the uncle, to the mother? Why do you not see the pains that your younger daughter is feeling?
Okay. Your aim would be?
My aim would be open communication.
Okay.
Be very clear.
Not to solve the problem.
Process. It's the process of communication, understanding who I am, what I need, and who we are, and what we can be. Can I be fully me and fully us at the same time? That's the same concept.
Can I be fully me and fully us at the same time?
That's
I'm trying
right.
to digest that.
That's right. Yeah.
Like, what does that mean?
It means I like me and I like us. You know,
but I don't like us.
Well, then move to somewhere else where you can like us and like me at the same time.
How?
Find your family. It can be fluid. I'm not here to break up family, folks.
Yeah, I know.
Please don't misunderstand me.
Yeah.
I'm here to confront families. I think it's time. It's 2017, and this is my new thing. Seriously.
Okay.
Yeah. And my Facebook is public, so if you're angry at me, you can go rant it there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Look for John Ben Loy. You'll find him there. Question from Anand in PJ. He says, how about re-adding people you have blocked on Facebook to break the ice?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that would work?
You can try, but they'll need to know you've re-added
them.
You have to say, hi. And put some kind of emoticon there.
Okay. All right. And can we use... I mean, we always run down technology and social media, but can it be used in a more positive way to reconcile or improve relationships, for an example?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was working with someone recently who has trouble reaching her husband when she's feeling down. And so now what they do is she will send him a little icon, like a heart,
mm-hmm.
and that will be the cue for him to respond. That she needs some connection. And it's working out really well for them.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's just imagine the dinner table now.
Yes.
During the family
dun,
gathering.
Dun, 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 dun.
Okay. What should you say and not say? Because you have, as you said, for you, you have three generations.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody communicates very differently.
Mm-hmm.
Taboo topics will definitely be there.
Yes.
Generational sort of language will be there.
Yes.
How do you make sure that everyone's happy?
I can't make sure everyone's happy, but I can make sure that I'm behaving myself so that I don't create unhappiness by intention. Okay? Somebody else may still be upset at me for the way I look, mm-hmm. you know, but I can't help that. But if my intention is clear that I'm not here to upset you, and if somebody is upset at me for something I said or did or did not do, then I can say, I'm sorry, I didn't intend that. And that's it.
If they tell you, but most of the time they don't. It's taken personally and then they leave and then...
Ignorance is bliss in that case.
Yeah, but they harbor these ill feelings and then the next thing you know...
Why should I carry what you harbor? That's your harboring. You need some help. I'm sorry. I've got my own feelings to deal with. That's hard enough. You know, to put on somebody else's feelings based on how what they have judged or perceived, which I'd never intended. I'm very sorry. That's your feelings. You need to work on that. You know, I'd be happy to bring you to someone's Facebook where you can go and say, where can I get some help? You know, on
this. And that's the thing, isn't it? Long-time family misunderstandings, families falling out. Most of the time, if you ask them, they're not even sure what happened.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think something, and it just hit me as I was just listening to you say that, is that, you remember when I talked about my second brother when he had died, and then I gave the eulogy and talked about making amends because my second brother and I were sort of mortal enemies for a long time. And so after I gave my talk, there was a man in probably in his 50s who said he hadn't talked to his brother for about 30 years. And then tonight, because of what I had shared, he's going to call his brother, mm-hmm. right? And so when I think about that, and I think the reason why we hold back from making that amends is not only because of anger. I think we're deathly afraid of reconnecting. That vulnerability that, well, what if he opens up? Then I'm going to cry and say sorry. Well, that's scary too, right? It's not just the anger that keeps us apart. It's also the closeness and the fear of that.
I thought it was pride as well.
Pride. What is pride? Pride doesn't do very much. I think of it as defensiveness or, you know, fear. Mm. Everything for me is love or fear. I really like Freud's theory because I really see it. It's love or fear. Opposite of love is not actually hate, as I experience it. Opposite of love is actually fear.
Mm. Yeah. I can see where you're coming from.
Yeah.
How do you psych yourself up to look forward to positive things?
You mean in terms of gathering with
yes,
the family?
Yes, during the holiday season.
Oh, I think that's easy. If things are good, you know, that's very natural. What you're going to wear, who you're going to see, what you're going to bring, what you're going to eat. Yeah, that's natural. It's the people that you know are going to maybe perhaps act in certain ways that make things difficult. Okay, breathe, smile. This is a one-time event and minimize it, the contact, and let it go. Don't try to solve problems over dinner, a large dinner. It's just no point. Mm-hmm. So that's not the venue.
And you don't have to wait for a family gathering or a festive season to solve problems, isn't it?
You're telling me, right? Thanks for that advice, Mira. Yes, I agree. I agree.
The man who says the opposite of love is fear. That's interesting. I'm taking that away. Hi, who's on the line?
Hi, Jonathan here.
Yes, hi, Jonathan. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, go ahead. Your question.
It's not a question. It's just about echoing what Dr. Ben John, right?
John Ben.
John Ben. Sorry.
Okay. Think of the Waltons and you remember his name.
Sorry?
Think of the Waltons. Okay, he's a different generation altogether.
Yes, Mira. Come on.
I just gave away my age.
Yes.
Go ahead, Jonathan. I'm not going
to
dig.
To echo what Doctor was saying about communicating, confronting, agree with him that this is 2017. We got to talk it out. We have to like sit down and discuss things through. I mean, this is what I went through with my younger brother and my elder sister. I mean, I'm the only one that is with kids. So my parents was expecting them to have kids as well. But then, unfortunately, my sister couldn't have. But mm-hmm. the thing is that we have to stop pestering her, have to stop keep pressuring her because she has a bit of a medical issues.
Right.
So the thing is, by understanding them on their side, in their shoe, we sort of just stop it out, stop questioning. So it's always best to confront. It's always best to open it up rather than to keep it to themselves. I mean, right from the first year, she was having some medical problems which all of us do not know about. So when she starts sharing it, all of us understood, and we just stopped there. And then for my case is that sometimes when my elder daughter doesn't like to be in this sort of like family gathering because everyone is like keep criticizing her because of this, because of that. So as a father, I sort of like put a stop to it to say that, hey, you guys leave her out on this. I mean, it's as a father, I sort of like step in to say that you guys are supposed to stop this. This is not healthy. You're supposed to love her as who she is and accept her as who she is.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes she just doesn't know how to open up.
Yeah. Mm. She must be very young.
Yeah. No, she's 12.
No, that is young.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
To go up
For some of us, that's very young.
Very young. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Jonathan. Happy
Thank
New
you.
Year.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
What do you think?
Yeah. Definitely, I'm all for process and conversation and coming out and talking about things. I also, at the same time, recognize that there's a need for safety to be able to voice your situation. Maybe you yourself are still dealing with it and you're not quite ready to share, and that can be okay. I think family learning takes time. Yes, we'll put that in quotes. Family learning, there is such a thing. You know, it takes time for different members to come together. One person may take, you know, an hour to get a concept. A family may take a year to get a concept so that everyone is aligned. Give yourselves time and celebrate some of the positive family learning lessons that you've acquired over time.
It will take time.
Yeah.
Is your takeaway.
Yes.
Last question from Mohammad Helmi via Twitter. He says, I think the key to all of these family meeting and the anxiety is to simply think of others, but not of what they think of us. So we think of others. To worry too much about how they're viewing
that's
us.
That's right. Don't worry about their judgments on us so much, and be considerate towards the others. I think that's good advice. Yeah.
Okay. And if you have to de-stress after taking up all this emotional, you know, sometimes when you get back home and then it hits you, how do you de-stress?
De-stress well. You know, healthily. Don't overload on junk food. Don't spend inordinate amounts of time on unhelpful media, social media, for instance. Exercise, eat well, sleep, or have a good talk with someone, or journal, like write in your diary, you know, your thoughts, etc.
Does that really work?
Absolutely.
Really?
Oh, yes. But sometimes you have to teach people how to do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you give me just 2-3 tips on how to do it?
I actually wrote a blog post about it.
Ayo, I'm lazy to read.
JohnBenLloyd.com. Go somewhere in
See,
November
2014. See, another time I've given him the opportunity
expressive
to plug.
Expressive writing. Just write. Just write for 10 minutes. Let it all flow out without stopping. And then after 10 minutes, look back. And then you probably have you open up the cork. More stuff can flow out. And keep writing until a point where you're going to find that your words and your sentences starts to take a positive tone. If it's not taking a positive tone, give it a rest, you know, go to sleep, eat well, try it again the next day. If it's not getting any better, consult a professional. Something could be seriously wrong.
Okay. Your message on family gatherings and the festive season?
Yeah. Learn to figure out what makes you and what makes your family good for you. And what makes you good for your family?
So, Kongsi Fachai, to you and your dynasty and your three generations. Good
or
luck
four.
With the family gathering. And
thank you.
We look forward to having you once again next month.
Thank you.
Kamsia. Kamsia, yes, that's Hokkien. I just learned that.
Nandri.
Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, the evening edition team will be doing a whole 1 hour session on Tan Sri Adnan Satim, the Chief Minister of Sarawak. I mean, he just passed on at 1:20 p.m. today. So you want to join them after the news at 5 o'clock on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.